Let's open a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this evening, and we just thank you for your grace in all things. We thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity to meet freely and consider the things of the word of God, be encouraged by the word, convicted by the word, instructed by the word, comforted by the word. So, Father, we just praise you for this, and whatever things Pastor and Char are dealing with, we pray for them that you give them wisdom, and so we just thank you for that in Christ. Amen. Okay, I may have talked some of this before to some of you, I don't know, but nonetheless, I'm going to teach it again because I've expanded on it a little bit, but I want to consider several things in the Gospel of John that the Gospel of John says a person cannot do. And we want to look first at John chapter 3. And there's just several things that Christ himself says in the text in John says that a person cannot do. So John chapter 3, we see this account in John chapter 3 of Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He comes to Jesus by night and he has some questions for him, and he's inquisitive, and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." And so Jesus answers him, and he tells him two things that it's not really what Nicodemus was asking him, but he tells him two things that a person cannot do. He said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then again in verse 5, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so, as I was just meditating on the Gospel of John, I started following through and thinking through this issue of what can you not do? What is it that a person cannot do unless God is aggressively active in the doing? Unless something happens to a person from outside themselves, what is it that they cannot see or cannot do? Well, John says here that a person cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't see it at all. He can't understand what the kingdom of God is. He can't perceive what the kingdom of God is. And he cannot enter the kingdom of God unless something very outside of himself happens to him. And what we see is that Jesus tells him that he must be born from above. Now, when I looked at that phrase, cannot, it really comes from two words. It's made up of two words. One of the words is a Greek word, dunamai, and it just means to be able to, or to have the power to accomplish some action. That's what that word means, and it couples it with another word that means you're not able, you cannot. And that word just simply means no, not at all, in no way, or absolutely not. So at the base level, what this text is saying is you absolutely cannot see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of God unless something happens to you that is outside of you. It will not arise from within you to be able to do that. So you simply cannot see it or enter the kingdom. And then if we look down at verse 27, we see again, John, it says, in verse 22, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into Judean countryside. He remained there. John the Baptist was baptizing at Enon near Salem. Because water was plentiful there, people were coming to him to be baptized. Discussion arose between John's disciples and a Jew over purification. Well, John tells him in verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. There again, uses that phrase, cannot. It's In absolutely no way does a person have the ability or the power to take action on something. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him from heaven. So in John 3:3-5, Jesus is saying you must be born from above. You cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom. You must be born from above. John the Baptist says you can't receive a thing from anywhere unless it's given to you from heaven. You're unable. You cannot. Absolutely, you cannot. In James 1:17, I think it is, it says every good and perfect gift comes from above. In James 1:17. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, let me turn there. 1 Corinthians 4:7. It tells us, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So even 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, we cannot receive anything unless we receive it from above. And then in John chapter 5 and verse 44, John chapter 5 and verse 44, we have a passage here that teaches that a person cannot believe in Christ when he or she has competing gods in their life. In John chapter 5, let's start at verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Now here, he's saying a person cannot believe in Christ. How can you believe, he asks. He's implying you cannot believe when you have competing gods in your life, when you have a love for people and you have an honor given to people in verses 41 to 43, or you have a love for yourself, or you seek honor for yourself over loving and honoring God, you cannot believe. You're short-circuited in our faith in Christ when we have competing gods in our life. Over in John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 44. It says in verse 41, the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Well, how does he say, I've come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Here in John 6:44, he says, no one, using that same terminology again, you cannot come to Jesus unless the Father draws you. No one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And here, I picked out certain words because the words caught my eye, and the word draw caught my eye. So I looked at that word. The word translated draws is often translated to draw, to persuade, to pull in, or to drag. That's the range of usage. And it's used 8 times in the New Testament, 5 times in John. So it really signifies this powerfully persuasive influence on a person to come to Christ. A few examples. Jesus says in John 12, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. In John 18, it said Peter drew the sword to cut the ear off the guy. Same word. The apostles were told to cast the net in John 21, and they hauled in a great amount of fish. In Acts 16 and 21, it says Paul was dragged from the marketplace, and then later he was dragged from the temple. Same word. And James 2:6 says that the rich will oppress you and drag you into court. So it's that same word. It's got a wide range of use, but it's mainly portraying here this powerful, persuasive influence on a person that they cannot come to Christ unless God is working actively to draw them. And then we see in John 6 again, and verse 65. In 64, but there were some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. So here in this passage, no one can come unless the Father gives them, delivers them, or commits them to come. And we see that usage used several other times. In John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 43 through 47, says here, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And here, a person cannot understand the things of God because they can't bear to hear them. And they can't bear to hear them because they're not of God, the text says. And so they're just not able. They cannot bear it. They are not able. They're incapable of understanding the things of God unless God actively works. And he does. Then in John chapter 10, verse 28-29. He says in verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Speaking of believers, I and the Father are one. So he's speaking of believers there. And if you're in Christ, the comforting thing, if you're in Christ, no one is able to keep God from keeping you. That's a wonderful truth. You're double wrapped in the arms of God. You're held by Jesus Christ, and you're held by the Father. So no one is able to keep God from keeping you. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then we see in John 14, John 14, verse 5 through 7, Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So here, a person cannot know the way to God unless they know the only way to God. There's only one way. And they can't know the way unless they know that only way. Jesus is uniquely the exclusive way, truth, and life that's required to enjoy life beyond this life. And so the person cannot and will not agree with the exclusive nature and work of Jesus Christ. And not receiving that, they cannot come to the Father. He is the only way. Unless something happens to the person from outside of them, the person cannot come to Christ. In John 14, 17, let's start at 15. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." Here, a person without Christ, the world, cannot receive the Spirit of God. You must be born again to receive the Spirit. John 15, verse 4 and 5. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." So a person cannot bear fruit to the glory of God unless he abides, remains in Christ. A person can make a New Year's resolution. They can turn over a new leaf. A person can do many good things, productive things, helpful things in our culture, in society. But they cannot do that with a proper motive to the glory of God unless they abide in Christ. And then in John 16, 12, the last one I want to look at, and we've covered first 16 chapters of John. John 16, 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Speaking to his disciples, speaking to his followers, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." So Jesus had many things that he could teach, many things to say, but until the Spirit came, he said, "The Spirit will come and teach you and guide you into all truth." That word "bear" is the range of word. In the translation, the word "bear" means to bear with or to tolerate, sometimes translated to sustain mentally or to comprehend. So before the Spirit came, he said, "You cannot, I have many more things to teach you, but you can't comprehend them yet. You can't understand them yet till you have the Spirit. You just cannot." So I thought about all that, and I thought about how gracious God is to move towards people who cannot do all these things in themselves. And I thought even in my own life, and I remember being in Bible study and hearing people share the gospel with me, and I remember at times telling them that makes absolutely no sense. And I could not receive it. It just didn't make any sense to me. But there's a few verses that I'm very thankful for, and I want to run through those with you. Turn back to John 1. A few verses that we can really praise God for. John 1, 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, the authority, the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 6 through 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You can praise God that the wind of the Spirit blew in your direction. If you're in Christ, you know him, the wind of the Spirit blew in your direction. And when you could not understand, you could not see it, you could not enter the kingdom, God changed everything. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You could not see and you could not understand. In the next moment, you could. You had eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 24. One of my favorite verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. What a beautiful truth. You can know God through Christ. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And I think of the passages in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the passage that says, he took our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I think of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It says, when we were dead, God made us alive. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says we can have a righteousness that is not our own, but a righteousness of Christ. And so, looking at all these things that we cannot do, we cannot see, we cannot understand, and yet when God works mightily, that ought to encourage us in our walk with Christ. It ought to encourage us in our evangelism. It ought to encourage us in our discipleship that God works mightily in the hearts of men and women who at one time could not understand, could not see. It made no sense to them. We may have had no desire whatsoever for anything spiritual. And yet God moved in a way that made us alive in Him. That is just a marvelous work of God that ought to really greatly encourage us. So it encouraged me just to think about my own life and how great a need I had, I didn't even realize. And when God was working over those years to bring me to Himself, looking back on it, I don't even think I knew what was even happening. It was just kind of foggy, and I thought I was the one in control of the meeting, and I wasn't at all. So I just want you to be encouraged in that though we have loved ones and we have people we witness to and people that we would love to see come to Christ, and we want to be faithful in sharing that to them, just remember, be patient with them. It ought to encourage us to pray for them more diligently and just more faithfully share the truth of Christ's word with them and wait for God to work in marvelous ways.